So the first thing to know is about Hanukkah is that although the miracle of Hanukkah took place around the year 180 before the Common Era, so it was way before the Mishnah. At the time of the Mishnah there was already Hanukkah and the like, but the Mishnah only mentions Hanukkah in a very indirect way. Now, there's the laws of Hanukkah are not in the Mishnah. The laws of Purim are, we have Hol Maseches Megillah. The laws of Hanukkah are not in the Mishnah. However, the Mishnah does mention Hanukkah. Where does it mention Hanukkah? A very indirect way in Bava Kamma. Right? The Shaila there is, if you own a camel and the camel has flax and I have a fire outside my house and the flax gets ignited by the fire and the camel keeps on walking and sets a building on fire, who is chayav for the destruction of the building, the Baal Ha'esh or the Baal of the camel, right? So the Mishnah is machalek. If the fire is inside the store, but your flax went into the store as we're passing, the Baal Ha'esh is not chayav because his Aish was protected. If it was outside the store, the Baal Ha'esh is chayav because he shouldn't have let his Aish in Rishus HaRabim. And on that, it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, if it was near Hanukkah, which you're supposed to light outside, he's not chayav, because he lit Birshus. That's the only place in the Mishnah where he mentions Hanukkah, like an indirect halach. Now, why does the Mishnah not mention Hanukkah? I mean, why doesn't it give you the laws of Hanukkah? So, they give different terutzim. One terutz that might be pashut is that Hanukkah was a festival that the Chachamim didn't want to publicize during Roman times. The Mishnah was written under Roman occupation. The Mishnah was written after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people had revolted. When Rav Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah, the Jewish people had already revolted against Rome two major times. They revolted for 5 years before, which culminated in the Chorban Beis HaMikdash in the year 70. And then in the year 135, the Bar Kokhba revolt that was crushed. The Mishnah is written in the year 200. So that's 65 years after Bar Kokhba. Now, if you start talking about Hanukkah, and the Romans see Hanukkah, and the Romans ask you, what are you celebrating? Say, oh, we're celebrating the overthrow of foreign domination in Eretz Yisrael. Not so good. So Hanukkah was a bit low-key. And now you understand what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, and the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is you light the Neros in your doorway facing the street, the mezuzah to the right, and Ner Hanukkah to the left, right, outside. But then it says, Ubishas ha-sakana. But when it is a sakana to light outside, Manicho el shulchana, you light it on your table. Now, what does the Gemara mean? Why would it be a sakana to light the Ner Hanukkah outside? The answer is because the Romans would treat it as treason. The Romans would treat, or they might treat, depending, in other words, it's mashma, sometimes it was a sakana, sometimes not. It depended on the emperor. But sometimes this would be treated as treason, and therefore in such a case you light inside. Now, by the way, that Gemara is the basis of the Machlokas. There is a Machlokas. B'zman hazeh, do we light inside or do we light outside? As you know, many in Yerushalayim have the minhag of lighting outside. Of course, what outside is also a very, very big Machlokas. The Gemara describes outside as the entrance facing Rishus HaRabim. But how does that work if it's an apartment building? Now, the Gemara was talking about you have a house. So do I light in the hallway outside of my door, and I look at the hallway as the Rishus HaRabim? Or do I light at the entrance of the apartment building? Right, there are different views. Some shitas say that you actually light at the outside entrance of the apartment building. Others say, if you're going to fulfill the idea, you light outside your door. But those are the people who say you light outside. But some people light inside. Here, they light inside, right? In the dining room, they light inside. Now, what is the basis of lighting inside? So the machlokas is this. When the Gemara says originally the halacha was to light by the doorway, but b'shas ha-sakana, they said light inside, was that a permanent change or was that just a temporary change? Meaning, do I learn the Gemara that once it's a sakana, they changed the whole halacha and they said no longer outside, now inside? So even when there's no longer a sakana, like today, you do it inside? Or is it the pshat, there's still a takana to do it outside, which was temporarily suspended, b'sakana, but when there's no sakana, you got to go back to the din of the Gemara. So that's a big machlokas, meaning to say, according to most of the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, the sakana was a temporary suspension of the law of the Gemara, and since Baruch Hashem b'zman hazeh, it is not a sakana to light candles outside, we have to do it outside, and the only machlokas is outside, literally outside the communal door, or is it outside your individual door? But other poskim, particularly chassidim, they take the position that the halacha is you light inside the house. Not only that, but there are chassidish rebbeis who take the position that if you're lighting inside the house, it doesn't even have to be by a window, because the persume nisa is no longer based on other people. It is persume nisa livnei hamishpacha. So you'll find, if you look at pictures, you'll see there are chassidish rebbeis who will light on the dining room table. That's where they light the menorah. Most don't do that. Most, even if they light inside, they try to position it in a window where people will see it from the outside. But Rabbi Yashar was very strict. Rabbi Yashar absolutely said that if you don't light outside your entrance, and his shita was your entrance meant the communal entrance of the apartment building, not in the hallway of your apartment. Rabbi Yashar said you're not yotze even b'diavad, and you have to light again with a bracha. This is what Rabbi Yashar said. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was chaylik. He said that the whole din of lighting outside, even if you're chayev, is only a lechatchila dekehider. In other words, he said you're vada yotze. In other words, even in the time of the Gemara, you would be yotze inside, and you certainly would not make a bracha again. It's a little again. I mean, not that emotion should matter, but emotionally, it's a little. Rabbi Yashar Psak is a little troublesome for me because you're lighting outside, but then you know you're not even going to see your own neiros. Meaning, if you light it outside your door, so you can leave your door open and you can see your neiros. If you light it in the hallway, although that might be a fire hazard. But if you're lighting outside, I mean, you know, you're on the fifth floor and your menorah is down. But I guess Rabbi Yashar would answer that the Iker Pesume Nisa is for people who pass by. This is what he said. But he was very makbid on it. That's where he lit his menorah. He lit his menorah outside, meaning outside his apartment, not his apartment, outside the apartment building. And in fact, his menorah was stolen one year. I remember this. Somebody wanted a souvenir. I have Rabbi Yashar's menorah. I'm sure after Mayav Yashar Shana, that's not going to be a zechus in Shemayim. But he thinks somehow I have the Gadol HaDor's menorah, and somehow I'm going to get a bracha or something from it. And the like. Okay. But be it as it may, this idea of the change of halacha has some repercussions to Gabi Zaman as well. This is very interesting. Medina de Gemara, you have to light, number one, enough oil that burns a half an hour, but that's also the Zaman. You have to light within half an hour after dark, after Tseis HaKochavim, let's say. And also Machlokas, are you counting from sunset or Tseis? But you have to light within that half an hour. Why? Because the pedestrians stop moving, right? And those in the time of the Gemara, the Tarmudai, these were people who were wood gatherers, they would gather sticks and the like, they stopped working half an hour into the night.
They were the last workers?
Yeah. And people didn't walk around at night. In fact, somebody wrote a whole book about it. It's interesting. Electricity really changed nighttime. I mean, nighttime used to be, you know, you didn't go out. You're just nighttime. That was the kind, there weren't people walking around at night. I mean, once in a while, but it wasn't. Today, it's totally different. So the question is, Bizman HaZeh, am I allowed to light near Hanukkah after the half an hour. So all the Paiskim say, based on the Ramah, that Bezman HaZeh, you can light Neiris Hanukkah the whole night. The whole night. But there are two different reasons, with the bracha. But there are two different reasons for this. It's very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik said, NYU, he said, that Bezman HaZeh, at least in a city like New York, it's a davar pashut that people are walking around all night. And even if the only people who are walking around are ganavim and drug addicts, they also count for persumei nisa, even if they're not Jewish. Haraya, because the Tarmudai that the Gemara talks about were not Jewish. So there's persumei nisa for goyim as well. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Now, that psak would depend maybe on the city. Some neighborhoods yes, some neighborhoods not. But the other sort that the Ramah himself says is that since Mi'ikar Adin were Madlik Bifnin, so the Iker presuming Nisa is for Bnei HaMishpacha. So as long as you have one other person who will be awake to see your Neiros, you can make a bracha. Even if there are no pedestrians. You don't need pedestrians. Now, the big problem with that is that the one thing that even the Ramah's Maida is, we don't say Persumei Nisa for yourself. Persumei Nisa means there has to be somebody else that you're communicating it to. So the problem basically is, if you're living by yourself, you don't have a roommate. You're a single man, who you're not married, and you don't have a roommate. So then you have a real problem, according to this, because you're mechuyev to light b'tayres Persumei Nisa, and since there's no ben bias with whom there's Persumei Nisa, your Persumei Nisa has to be for the B'nai Rishus HaRabim. So then, you're either Samech and Rav Soloveitchik, that says people are still walking around, or you have to follow the Dina de Gemara, which the Groh is very makbid, that Chazal were Koveya, that no matter even if there are pedestrians, Chazal or Koveya, that Pearson to Rishus HaRabim must occur within that half an hour. Which means, some posts can actually say, a man living alone should not light with a bracha after the half an hour has expired. We're not to do so, but there is a makam in halacha that it would be a suffolk bracha, and he should not light, because if he's married or if he has a roommate, so there's persumei nisa of ne'am mishpacha. But the truth of the matter is, even for that, they'd have to be awake. Meaning, if I show up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I need to light, the Ramah would say I could light with the bracha, but I have to wake my roommate, and he has to see, you know. Then you have an interesting halachic question. Well, am I allowed to wake my roommate so I could light with the bracha? He's mechuyev to wake up so I could light with the bracha? I mean, there's Nisra of Gezel Shina, right? Is it a mitzvah Babi Avera? I might say the mitzvah if I wake him up, you know, to be able to light. But that is an akuda one needs to be aware of. Okay. It's also nagah, this is also a teretz, right? So this is relevant whether you light inside. Now there's this issue of, is pursuing nisa for the outside or for the inside, is relevant, number one, where you light. Number two, how late can you light? And there's a third nakuda as well, how high can you light? The Gemara says that a near Hanukkah cannot be higher than 20 amos, let's say 40 feet, from the street, because people who are walking, who are not craning their neck, are not going to see peripherally the Ner, and therefore you don't have Persumei Nisa. So one Shaila that we have is, so what do you do if you live in an apartment building, and your apartment is more than 40 feet from the ground? So if you go with Rav Yashiv, that you have to be madlik outside the front door of the apartment, so everybody's lighting at ground level. But if you go, for example, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that says you're not lighting on the outside entrance, so what do you do? So it depends. If you're lighting outside your door, so that becomes your ground level, because the Persumei Nisa is for the people who are walking by your apartment, even though there may only be a few of them. But if you're lighting in your house in a window and you're Samech on the Persumei Nisa of the window, the problem is that's above 40 amos. So there are a few answers that they give. For, I mean, 20 amos, 40 feet. Right, so how could that be kosher? Since you're using the presume nisa of the outside. So some say that you don't have to measure from the ground if you have other buildings. So I'm 40 feet high. But there are other buildings that are also 40 feet high. Or if they're not 40 feet high, they're within 20 amos of my building. In other words, I don't have to define the ground as, you know, Rechov Shimon HaTzadik. I can define the ground as the floors of different apartment buildings that have people that can see my hadlaka. So B'chi I Gavna, unless I'm the only building, I'll normally be within 20 amos of people who will be able to see. That is one teretz. And the other teretz is, if in your apartment there's B'nei HaMishpacha, so that becomes the ground level, right? That's Presume Nisa for them. And that's how you're Samech on the problem of L'mayla Me'esrim. L'mayla Me'esrim Mama. But once again, if you are a single person living alone, and therefore you need the Presume Nisa of Neighbor Shesarabim, you do have to worry about the 20 Amos rule, unless there are other apartment buildings, which usually there'll be. But if you're like the only building and everything else is ground level, there's going to be an issue. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that meikir adin near Chanukah can be fulfilled in minimal ways, and then a mahadrin way, and then a mahadrin min a mahadrin. You can do it in three ways. Although I never heard of any, you know, it's funny. Everybody for Chanukah is mahadrin. We're ultra firm for Chanukah. I've never heard of anybody who says I'm just going to do the basic mitzvah. I don't want to do the heder. So what is the basic mitzvah? One candle every night, no matter how big your family. So if I have a family of 10 people, night one, I light one ner. And even on night eight, I light one ner. That's ish ubeso, one ner for the whole bais. Then the Gemara says, if you want to be mahadrin, you want to do a mitzvah in a beautiful way? Still not what we do. You light a ner for every member of your family. Night one, if I have 10 people, night one, 10 neros. Night eight, 10 neros. Now within that level, there is a machlokas. Do we mean each person lights their own ner? Or do we mean the balabayas lights a ner for everybody? That's a machlokas within Mahadran. But then we go Vajra. We have what is called Mahadran Mina Mahadran. Right, sounds like a restaurant. By Mahadran Mina Mahadran, that's the famous Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, you go down, 8, 7, 6. Beis Hillel says, you go up. Now, There's a lot that we can talk about this morning. We will talk about it. Because I guess we'll have another Wednesday for Chanukah as well. But it's important that you know right off the bat that there's a machlekes rishayim. What is the relationship of mahadrin mina mahadrin with mahadrin? In other words, mahadrin is a candle for every family member. Mahadrin mina mahadrin is minyan hayamin, how many days, either going up or going down. Taisus says the following svara. Taisus says, if you want to do the best, Taisus says, you don't combine it with the middle level. Meaning, if I have 10 people, if I just want to do middle level, and this is an interesting example where the middle level will be more candles than the highest level. If I want to do middle level, I light 10 candles. But if I want to do highest level, I don't light 80 candles. In other words, 8 candles for each person. I only light 8. Why, Taisa says? Because Taisa says it's asvara. Because if mahadrin mina mahadrin is to clearly indicate how many days of Chanukah it is, if everybody is lighting candles, I walk by a window and I see 80 candles, I'm not going to automatically chop how many days of Chanukah. Therefore, Taisa says the options are mutually exclusive. You either do the intermediate hidur of one candle for family member, Or if you do minyan hayamim, you only light one menorah. You don't light multiple menorahs, because that would throw off the count. That is what Tosfos says. The Rambam is chaylik. The Rambam says that we're building on madregos. There's mahadrin, and mahadrin min mahadrin. And if you want to do mahadrin min mahadrin, you should also do mahadrin. Meaning to say, what that means is, according to the Rambam says, if I have 10 people, let's take the last day of Hanukkah, last night of Hanukkah. If I have 10 people in my house, 10 members of my household, then on the last day of Hanukkah, we light 80 candles. 8 for each member of the family. The Rambam happens to say the Balabayas lights, by the way. The Rambam says the Balabayas lights 80 candles. Now, even in the Rambam, it's not entirely clear. Do husband and wife have two? In other words, you say for every member, do I say Ishto Kagufo? Or do I say husband and wife are also two? Okay. But the Rambam does include every katan and katana, etc. Now, what's interesting is that lahalacha, this is a machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Now, 99% of the time, if there's a machlekes, the Rambam and Tosfos, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and the Ramah paskins like Tosfos. This is a rare example that seemingly goes the other way. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you're going to do Mahadrim in a Mahadrim, only the Balabayas lights one Menorah. That's what Tosfos says. So if I have 10 kids, the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is, I only light one Menorah. Yeah, which is Tosfos' svar. The Ramah says that you light for every one of the B'nai Mishpacha, which is seemingly like the Rambam, but not exactly. Because the Rambam says the Balabayas lights, the Ramah says every person lights. Again, Machlekes and Minhagim, if husband and wife light. In other words, if you're, is everybody here Ashkenazi? You're all Ashkenazi? Okay. So we Ashkenazim, be careful. We Ashkenazim do have a minhag that we light for all the Bnei Abayas, and if the kids are old enough to be able to light safely, the minhag is the children themselves light. Meaning to say, everybody's around the Baal Abayas, he makes the bracha, and then everybody, boys and girls, will light their own menorahs. If they're too young to light their own, let's say 1 year old or something, so that you light for them, but they should light their own. We don't do the Rambam, but the Balabayas lights for everybody. With respect to husband and wife, there are different minhagim. The most common minhag, according to the Ramah, is husband and wife do not light separately. That in spite of every one of the Bnei Abayas, we treat Ishto Kagufa, we treat the husband and wife as one unit. However, some have a minhag, some do have a minhag, that according to the Ramah, even husband and wife will light separate menorahs. One bracha, the Balabayas makes a bracha, and then everybody lights their menorahs. The menorahs, however, in deference to Tosfos' chashash, that when you have too many neiros, you know, you don't see the number of days, the menorahs should be separated enough, either in different windows, or separated, so you can see that it's 8 days, you know, it's not the 64th day of Hanukkah or something, that it's 8 days. Right? So this is around. Now the Taz already points out that this is very highly unusual, that Shitas HaTosfos is followed by the Mechaber, and Shitas HaRambam, with some modifications, is followed by the Ramah. It actually is a very, very unusual scenario. The Taz just says, kachavi, sometimes that happens. But there are achronim that want to say that it's a mistake. The source of the Ramah is not the Rambam. See, this is the problem. The problem is, now, it is true, you can't get around this. The Mechaber is clearly going with Tosfos. That much you're stuck with. But some achronim want to say that the Ramah is also going with Tosfos. That way, at least, the Ramah is consistent with going like Tosfos. And the Rama learns like this. The Rama, because the Raya is, the Rama is not going with the Rambam. Because if the Rama is going with the Rambam says Balabai says, the Rama says not. Rather, the Rama learns this way. Even Taisus would be Maida that Bizman is that everybody should light. Because what is the reason why Taisus said everybody shouldn't light? Because the days will be thrown off. So they want a Taina. That was true only in the time of the Gemara, when they didn't use a Chanukiah. They used, what was a ner? What is a ner? A ner is an earthenware cup that you, or metal, you know, a cup that you fill with oil. So all you would do is you would line up your cups in front of your house. So I see 10 cups, I see 20 cups, I see 30 cups. I don't know how many days. But today, the minhag is we use what we call menorah, Chanukiah. A Chanukiah, even if you have 10 Chanukiahs, you can see the Chanukiot as distinct entities. So if I have 80 people lighting candles, even if it's all in the same window, people will still see it. In other words, the point is, Tysus's din, the Rama learns, was only a din in explaining the Gemara, but la'alacha l'maisa, when you have a Chanukiah, Taisus would be Maida. So the Makar of the Rama is not because he's passing like the Rambam, but rather, even according to Taisus, everybody would like today, because the Chanukiah means there's no confusion. You hear?
Did Taisus have menorahs?
Taisus may have had menorahs, but I have to go back to the lesson of Taisus. But Taisus, these Acharonim say Taisus is just explaining the pshat in the Gemara and not giving you halacha lemaisa. That when the Gemara says mahadrin min a mahadrin, it is negating mahadrin. But they want to learn, maybe it's a daichik, that that's just explaining the Gemara but not saying how you would apply that today. Yeah? Now, what's interesting is though that if you look in the Rama, and this is something you need to, it's actually very important to know. If you look, when the Shulchan Aruch says something, I mean, I don't know if you've even noticed this. When the Shulchan Aruch says something, how do you know what the makar of the Shulchan Aruch is? Does Rav Yosef Karo tell you? He gives you a din. He doesn't. So there you have to look in the Be'er HaGola, which was actually the grandfather of the Vilna Gaon, or the Be'er HaGra. In other words, makairis are not written in Rav Yosef Karo. But when you look at the Rama, you will notice that after the Rama says something, there is a parenthesis that will say Hagos Maimani or Rush. So you might walk away with the impression that the Rama gives us the makor of what he says. But that is not true. The parenthesis of makoros in the Rama is not from the Rama. It was put in by editors, printers, no, Talmidei Chachamim. But as a result, therefore, there are going to be times in which the makor they give you is what they think is the makor of the Rama, but in fact it is not the makor of the Rama. So in Hilchos Chanukah, when the Rama says everybody has the light, the parenthesis says Rambam. But that's a mistake. First of all, it's a mistake because the Rambam doesn't say everybody lights. The Rambam says the Balabayas lights for everybody. And second of all, according to the Achronim, who are Chaylik and the Taz, the Rama's din is not based on the Rambam, it's based on the fact that even Taisvas would be Maida when you have a Chanukiah that everybody lights, right? So that, this is a very interesting example. There are actually stronger examples where the makor that is identified in the parentheses as the Rama's source is in fact not the Rama's source.
Do you think he's learning with the Rama and he disagrees with what he
likes? It could be. I'm not saying it's an ironclad raya. It could be. Sometimes the Rama will say this was a makor, but the Rama modifies the makor because he's machri a different way for whatever reason. I mean, you're right. Even a makor that the Rama would identify wouldn't mean it has to be 100% like that makor. There could be a modification of it, and the like. But it is true. All I'm telling you is it is emes that we know that the parentheses in the Rama is not from the Rama himself. People put it in, and again, in the newer Shulchan Aruchs, they will often point out you know, they have footnotes and all sorts of things. Very, very interesting that this is not the Ramaz Makar. The Ramaz Makar is something. Yeah.
You have to light for even a baby?
It would seem, according to the Rama, that you do, yeah. Yeah, even for a baby.
But if the Baal Bat makes the bracha, it doesn't matter how long after he makes the bracha. You don't have to all light right away.
You can wait. It depends. If there are children that are already bar mitzvah, then they have to write light right away, because they need to be semech on the bracha. If it's for the ketanim and it's only mitan mahadrin, then you can wait. You can wait. There's an interesting shaila Rebbe Kivager has, by the way. Rebbe Kivager has a shaila like this. Rebbe Kivager has a tshuva on Chanukah. It's not in the main tshuva. There's a chelik beis, a secondary volume of tshuvas. He says like this. He says, let's say, just me, forget about other menorahs, but this would even apply to my mind. Let's say I didn't make the bracha. I lit the first candle, not the shamas. I lit the first candle, and then I remember, I didn't make the bracha yet. Can I make the bracha on the extra candles? And I think we could also add the question, can I make the bracha... Well, let's separate it out, because the second menorah is another question. Let's say just one menorah. Just me, I'm lighting by myself. Now, one argument is like this. Since, remember, a birchas mitzvah has to be made before you do the mitzvah. Once you've done the mitzvah, you cannot make a bracha anymore. So here's the argument. Since as soon as I light the first candle, I have been makayim the mitzvah. And the idea of lighting seven more candles is only because of heter mitzvah. Can I make a bracha on heter mitzvah when I've already fulfilled the ikar mitzvah? I've already done the mitzvah. This is only heter mitzvah. So can I make the bracha b'chiyai gavnim? So Rabbi Kivager has a very interesting chilek. Rabbi Kivager actually says, you cannot make the bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah because you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. But you can make the bracha sha'asa nisan and even shachianu, because that does not depend on the kiyum of mitzvah, that just depends on the Chanukah lights being there. I'm trying. Do I remember this correctly? One second. No, I'm sorry, I misstated. Rabbi Kivager discusses the shaila, but his maskana actually is that as if the first candle is still burning, you can make a bracha, even lahadlik, for karet. And what's his reasoning? His reasoning is like this. His reasoning is that you can't make a bracha once you finish a mitzvah, but as long as the first candle is burning for at least a half an hour, you are still fulfilling the mitzvah in the candle burning. See, it's different than something like lulav. Once I took the lulav, and I can't make the bracha anymore. Well, even by lulav. His yesod is, any mitzvah that you are still fulfilling, you can make a bracha. It's only a mitzvah that you finished that you can't make a bracha. So by lulav, Hitaka says, you can make a bracha until you finish the nanuim of challah. Even though I was yaitzeh as soon as I picked it up, but I'm still doing the mitzvah till the nanuim, I can make the bracha. And therefore, near Chanukah, there is a mitzvah in the candle burning for half an hour. Therefore, I could still make a bracha on the candle, but itainus, if the first candle went out, and the lach is if it goes out, you don't have to relight it, then you cannot make it. No, you're not making a bracha on the heater. You're making a bracha on the first candle, and the mitzvah on which you're making the bracha is still being fulfilled by the candle burning. Bidikas chametz. I could still make a bracha on bir chametz till I burn the chametz the next morning. Once I burn the chametz, I can't make the bracha anymore. Right? That's Rebbe Kibbeger's site. Now, Lagabe Shasan Nisim and Shechianu, that he says you can make the bracha even if the first candle went out. But Lahadlik, he says, you can make the bracha only as long as the first candle is still burning. Now, let me ask a variation of this question, which Rebbe Kibbeger does not directly ask. And that is, how would we apply this to multiple menorahs? Let's assume that, you know, let's say I have a son, right? So I'm lighting and my son is lighting. And normally I would make the bracha be mitzvah my son that he would light too. Let's say I lit my whole menorah and I didn't make a bracha. And now my son has to light. Can he or I make a bracha on that hadlaka?
That's
going to be the question. That's going to be the question here. Now, like Rebbe Kibbeger, if you go with Rebbe Kibbeger's psak that as long as the first candle is burning, you can still make a bracha, there's no shaila. But let's say you don't go with Rebbe Kibbeger. Many achrayim are chelik and mekudim. Many achrayim say once you lit the first candle, you cannot make a bracha. Not like Rebbe Kibbeger. So my question is, if once I lit the first candle, I can't make a bracha on my menorah, can you make a bracha on your menorah, or can I make a bracha on your menorah? How does it work? So really, it depends. It depends on a very important lumdus. When Chazal were misakin, that a mahadrin, the way the Rama understands it, that by mahadrin min a mahadrin, every person should light. How do you understand what that means? Does that mean they are still mechaven to be yaitzei with my hadlaka, but the heder is they light additionally? Or is the heder gufa that each person is mechaven not to be yaitzei with my hadlaka, and therefore they're maybe they'll be yaitzei with my bracha, but not my hadlaka, and therefore they're lighting as their own madlikin? I mean, you hear the understanding. Now, this would not apply to Ketanim, but this applies to Gedolim. If it's me and my 13-year-old, is it the pshat, he's yaitzei the ikar hamitzvah with my lighting, and his lighting is only heder? Or is the heder that he shouldn't be yaitzei with me and light on his own? If you learn, the heder is he should be mechaven not to be yaitzei with me and light on his own, then for sure he would make a bracha, because he didn't do his mitzvah yet. If, on the other hand, the pshat is he's still yaitzei with me, but he's only letting me tam heder, then he was already yaitzei the mitzvah, just like I was already yaitzei the mitzvah. So unless you go with Rebbe Kibbeger's kula, he would not be able to make a bracha, because he was already yaitzei Zikr Havdalah. So this is a very important shaila. I mean, Lamaisa, if I'm a 13-year-old, am I supposed to be mechaveh not to be yaitzei with my father's hadlaka? It might be that according to the Rama, there might be an inyan to be mechaveh not to be yaitzei. Now, I could still be yaitzei with the bracha, meaning it's not a tie to the sasri. I am not mechaveh to be yaitzei with your lighting, but you'll be mitzvah me be bracha. Although I don't know why I would have to do that, but I could do that, and then I'll light without a bracha. But I'm still lighting the shame mitzvahs ner chanukah. Yeah.
The Chacham who argue with the Rebbe Kibbeger, do they agree on the other two brachos?
I didn't see anybody who disagrees with Rebbe Kibbeger on the other two brachos. Rebbe Kibbeger himself brings achrayim that argue with him. I mean, earlier achrayim that say you can't make the bracha on the heder. So there, on the hadlik, you can't make lahadlik on once you lit, and you're only lighting extra candles for heder. I don't know anyone who argues on this psak see, the raya that he brings is a very good raya. The raya that he brings that you can make shasanisim shechianu is that the Gemara says, if I'm walking in the street, let's say I'm an onus and I'm not able to light ner Chanukah, but I see your Neiros Chanukah from the window, and you weren't mitzvah me. I just walked by and I see your lit candles. That's called Raya Ner Chanukah. So if I'm not going to be lighting, The Gemara says, I can make the bracha Sha'asa Nisan and on the first night Shechianu. So Rabbi Kibager's argument is a pretty logical argument. His argument is that if I can make those brachas when I see your lit candles, why can't I make those brachas when I see my lit candles? Loi gara mi raya ner Chanukah. That's Rabbi Kibager's svara. So Mamela, he says, Sha'asa Nisim is not a birchas ha-mitzvah. It's not a birchas ha-mitzvah that's totally on Eir la-siyasan. It's a birchas shevach v'haidah to thank Hashem for the nice. Of course, Shechianu, it's hard to know how to fit that in. Shechianu also is that you brought us to the Zman of Chanukah, but you only say it when you see a Nair, because that's what makes the Zman special. So that's Rabbi Kibager's argument. So that I think everybody's going to be masking to. That you can make Sha'asa Nisim and Shechianu even after you lit everything. But this Shaila, can my 13-year-old make the bracha if I didn't make the bracha in my menorah? That would be tully in how you understand what Mahadrin min Mahadrin is. Does it mean each person should be Mechavin not to be Yaitzeh? Or does it mean I'm Yaitzeh with your Adlaka, but then I'm going to do mine as a Tesefes Ayra? If it's only a Tesefes Ayra, I wouldn't be able to make a bracha unless you don't go. I'm sorry, unless you go, like Rabbi Kibager. Right? So that would be the shadow. Now, I think that the conventional understanding is that the kids are mechavin to be Yaitzeh with their fathers. And then they can only make a bracha if the father forgot, if you follow Rabbi Kibager's Hakha, which of course you're certainly able to follow. Okay? So maybe we'll stop here and they'll write you next week.